Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Yesterday, Mayor Bloomberg announced that Cornell University, in partnership with the Technion Israel Institute of Technology, won the contest to build an applied sciences and engineering campus on the southern tip of Roosevelt Island.
It promises to create a beehive of innovation and discovery, attracting and nurturing the kind of technical talent that will spawn new companies, create new jobs, and propel our city's economy to new frontiers.
Mayor Bloomberg yesterday. And with us now to discuss the new project is David Huttenlocher, Cornell's Dean of the Faculty of Computing and Information Science. Welcome to WNYC, and I guess congratulations are in order, huh?
Thanks.
First of all, why do you think Cornell won? There was so much, anticipation leading up to this. Stanford was a finalist. They pulled out, but we know Columbia and other universities also competed. Why did Cornell win?
Well, I think I'd like to just start by quoting the mayor, who focused on the fact that we had a very ambitious, large-scale proposal and that we're getting started very quickly and that we have a very strong alumni base in the city who are actively engaged. And I think all of those factors were really important.
But go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but also I think that we're really trying to envision a new future kind of university. And so we're looking at a different kind of educational structure that will be very oriented toward commercial development in the technology sector.
You want to go into that a little bit?
Sure. So, as we look at the technology sector today, it's really starting to shift from what I would call pure technology plays, the kind of technology that we've all sort of had shoved on us, frankly, to technology that's becoming much more oriented towards thinking about the user, towards the applications, towards the companies. And New York City, as a leader in so many industries, as a leader in the development of new kinds of culture, this is a place where that new sort of technology development can really excel.
And the New York Times article on this yesterday said this campus is meant to be the kind of incubator that MIT is to the Boston area and Stanford is to Silicon Valley, attracting new businesses and the lucrative patents that come with them, which is another way of saying what you just said.
Absolutely. And we think that capitalizing on that, especially in New York City, requires not just the science and engineering talent, but also talent in a wide number of other domains. So, for example, if you think about something like social media, which is something that we're all living with a lot today, it's not just the computer scientists and the engineers. It's also the sociologists, the psychologists, the people who understand human behavior. And bringing those disciplines together and addressing those kinds of problems and then tying them closely to the business community so that you get those ideas out there into new companies that create new jobs.
So how many students and how quickly?
Well, so this is a three-decade sort of process here. We're looking all the way out into the 2047 sort of time frame. And in that time frame, we're looking at a full build-out that will be close to 300 faculty and a couple of thousand graduate students. But we're planning to get started right away here, getting students on the ground here in New York within the coming year and scaling that up as we get both the quality of the students and a number of applicants, and same with the faculty.
So who would actually go next September? What kind of students would you be looking for?
So the students that we're looking for, both immediately and going forward, are students who have strong technical interests and skills, but beyond that have real interests in entrepreneurship and in business and in applying those technical skills in domains that matter in New York City. So it's really going to be students who want to do something broader than a traditional technical education but have that technical background.
Listeners, we've been talking about this competition to win the science and engineering campus rights for months on this show and the station. Some of you have been following this. Many of you have been not. But if anybody has a question for Dean Huttenlocher from Cornell, Dean of the Faculty of Computing and Information Science, who's involved with this bid, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And some of the numbers being thrown around with respect to this, preliminary forecasting estimates that the campus would generate more than $23 billion in economic activity, $1.4 billion in tax revenue for the city. This is over a 30-year period, but still 20,000 construction jobs while it's being built, 8,000 permanent jobs. These are very impressive numbers. Sometimes they turn out to be exaggerations, numbers like these, but nevertheless, there's going to be a lot of jobs here one way or another, it seems like. How transformative do you think or hope it will be to New York City's economy? We're already, I think it's fair to say, a leading tech center, maybe a little behind Silicon Valley, maybe close to Boston at this point. What do you think?
So I think that a key missing ingredient right now in the technology sector in New York, which I agree with you, it's a really vibrant sector of the city's economy, small but vibrant. And I think a key missing ingredient, and this is something that we've seen as we've been talking to technology leaders throughout the city in the past year and working on this proposal, is the top flight engineering talent. It's so hard for them to recruit those people. And when you look at these companies, those may not be a huge percentage of the employees in the company, but they're really critical to getting those products out the door that allow the company to grow and scale and grow its employee base overall. So I think that bringing more of those key employees here who are educated here in the city, who build ties with companies in the city while they're still in school so they stay here when they graduate, is going to be a very important part to fueling the growth of that sector. And so we do think that the city's estimates of jobs are something that we believe in also.
People say that some of the attractions of New York for tech startups and other technology businesses is the fact that some of the sectors that they would want to interact with are here, such as marketing and advertising and other media and fashion. Are you going to try to build on those strengths?
Absolutely. So, in fact, as I mentioned before, we're looking at this as a very interdisciplinary kind of campus with really a new approach to education that's not around the traditional sort of disciplines like computer science, electrical engineering, et cetera, but in fact rather around interdisciplinary focal areas that we're calling hubs. And so one of those is what we're calling connective media, which relates to the advertising industry, media industries, publishing, you know, a whole set of important industries in New York. We view these technology hubs as being fairly fluid and responsive to how things will change in industry over time, because in academia, frankly, you know, things change on multi-decade, if not centuries-long timescales,
right.
And in the real world, they change a lot faster. But so initially, we see three of these hubs. The first is this connective media. The second is healthier living, which is technology for not just healthcare, but really promoting healthier life much more broadly, addressing health as something that doesn't happen just when you have to go see the doctor or go to the hospital, but something that's a part of our life overall. And then the third is technology for green buildings.
And hopefully it does actually attract the businesses or lead to the creation of businesses, because I know one of the fears here is that engineers and scientists who come to study at this campus will then take their skills and move to Silicon Valley.
Absolutely, and this is something that we've been very focused on in our proposal, and I think it was one of the real strengths of our proposal, is that we think that it's critical not just to attract great people here to study, but to keep them here. And that's not a given. There are many places around the country where there are great schools and the graduates, for the most part, move away. And so one of the key aspects of these programs is that we're going to be connecting students on the campus with industry mentors in companies in New York City, starting when the students initially arrive. So this is something that will be an integral part of their educational process, to be working with and engaged with companies in New York so that they see how exciting it is to be working here when they graduate.
David Huttenlocher, Cornell's Dean of Computing and Information Science, talking about Cornell winning the bid to develop a major applied sciences campus here in New York City. Our lines are jammed. Our listeners are very interested in this. Bonnie in Staten Island, for a non-education reason, I think. Bonnie, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. This is a terrific program. I'm really happy about the Cornell connection. My daughter and son-in-law are both graduates of Cornell, and they happen to live on Staten Island.
On Roosevelt Island?
On Roosevelt Island, I mean. But Roosevelt Island is a teeny place, and you're talking about adding thousands of people. They have one road. It runs down the center of the island. There are no lights because there's no traffic. It's just the bus that runs up and down the island. There's very little in the way of additional parking. I don't see how they're going to have all these people at the southern end of the island unless they plan to build another bridge down at the southern end that would connect with Queens and expand the subway stop that they have, which runs, which is like almost right under the 59th Street Bridge there.
Bonnie, thank you. Everything she says about Roosevelt Island is true. So there's your first engineering project.
Absolutely, and you know, I've spent quite a bit of time on Roosevelt Island as we've been developing the proposal here. So the site is where the Goldwater Hospital is right now, which is just south of where the 59th Street Bridge crosses. And actually, that part of the island is quite separate from the residential piece, which we think is important because the residential character of Roosevelt Island is very, very critical to the island.
Still, in terms of infrastructure, transportation included.
Right. So this is something we've looked at in quite a bit of detail, not just us, but also the city in putting several sites on the table. And one of the things about a campus like this is that it really has sort of the opposite kind of commute patterns of Roosevelt Island currently, because the residents of Roosevelt Island are commuting to their jobs, and this will be people commuting to this campus. And so we envision a lot of use of public transportation. In fact, that's what really attracted us to the Roosevelt Island site in the first place. Students are, you know, by and large, use public transportation. We don't see this in terms of the student population as increasing automobile traffic at all, because how many students in New York own cars?
You can get them to improve the tram for this, maybe?
Absolutely.
Daniel in Boston, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Morning, gentlemen. I'm very happy about this event in New York. But I have a question. Since this is going to be a joint venture with a foreign country, I know that in all of these technical areas, there will be military money put into it. Have there been any contingencies made for that? Because to make nuclear weapons, I work in high technology, you just don't need to be creating, enriching plutonium and so on and so forth. There are other things needed, too. So that's my big question, because there have been some scandals with Chinese students and visiting scholars that have not reached quite the media about secrets that we have here in the United States, because our scientists and engineers, they're hands-on people versus people coming from the outside, from my own experience, who are very book smart. Mm-hmm. But we have that advantage that our universities, even the smallest ones, have great labs.
So thank you, Daniel. So two things there. First, do you see this as an incubator of the defense contractors of the future?
So we don't really see this particularly as a defense contractor-oriented incubator. This is really focused on the commercial sector. Cornell currently does not take any classified or other kinds of research contracts. This campus won't do that either. So we really don't see defense orientation as a major piece of this campus. But that said, of course, you know, we're planning to take federal research money. Some of that does come from a variety of agencies, but this would all be research in the open. Nothing.
What does commercial sector mean? For people who are listening who are not engineers, they think, oh, it's going to be a high-tech science and engineering campus. It's the next Apple. You know, it's the next iPad, which maybe it is. But what else?
So really, one of the things that we see as exciting about New York is more being, you know, the next Tumblr or the next or Facebook, to pick a company that's not in New York. But the evolution of technology right now is towards a lot of software-based things and not so much the sort of hardware of the iPad and iPhone. And that's where we see a lot of the excitement. We also see a lot of the appropriateness for New York City as a venue.
And to Daniel's other question, he said foreign country. Your partner in this is Technion Israel Institute of Technology, which is a university in Israel, correct?
That's right. So we don't have any partnership with any foreign country. We do have a partnership with a university that's based in a foreign country, and I view that as quite different. This is not any sort of government partnership. This is with an educational institution.
Why them? Of all the universities in the world, why was there no university in the United States that you could have partnered with?
Well, so what we really thought was important here, and it really was a piece of the initial vision that the mayor's office had in the RFP and the request for proposals, is New York is such a global city. To build a global campus that would take advantage of the global nature of New York. And as we looked globally for a partner outside of the United States, which was really our only focus, we weren't really considering partnerships in the U.S., as we looked for a global partner, The Technion is probably the most accomplished university in the world in terms of taking technology and using it to drive the creation of new businesses. In fact, better than any university in the United States in that regard. And so we viewed them as an amazing partner for this, given their interest in expanding to New York.
Robin in Washington Heights, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robin.
Hi. I have a question. I understand that you're looking at getting this off the ground, I guess, in the next academic year. For those families that are currently looking at school, and Cornell in particular, the existing literature doesn't address this because obviously the proposal wasn't accepted. How would a family investigate possibly being part of the initial class?
Okay, Robin wants to apply.
So this campus is graduate-level education. So the degrees that are that we're going to be offering on this campus are at the master's and doctoral level. So for most families, they're still looking with kids in high school at applying to undergraduate programs, and this will not affect the undergraduate programs at Cornell. This is a graduate-level campus.
But you're going to, I guess, hustle up an application process and a deadline. If the usual deadline is January, I think, to apply for the next September academic year, I guess it's going to be a little later than that.
That's right. That's right. But we will, for the master's programs, be getting application deadlines set up as quickly as possible and get students here in New York at both the master's and PhD level.
Still thinking about the caller concerned about Roosevelt Island and the infrastructure for that. Another thing that I've heard is that this is actually being developed on what is a brownfields toxic waste site at the moment. Is that accurate?
That's not accurate by any information that we have. And in fact, again, just to quote the mayor, first of all, he literally opened the press conference yesterday with saying that that wasn't true. You know, the city did a fair amount of investigation of all of the sites that it put on the table, which does include some investigation of the, you know, how buildable that site is. And we have no evidence whatsoever that there's any waste there beyond what you would expect in any site in New York City, which is there are things to be demolished and things to be gotten rid of.
Where did that rumor get started, if it's not true? Do you know?
We really don't know.
How about this gift that Cornell received, coincident with this granting of the contract, $350 million, a contribution by alumni Charles F. Feeney. It's one of the most generous gifts ever received by any university. What's the relationship between that and this?
Well, I think that since we really got seriously engaged in this at Cornell, in the last 8 months, there's been an incredible groundswell of support from Cornell alumni for this. And this is really just one of a large number of supporters stepping forward. And as we saw the high level of support, we started to also look at raising funds for this campus should we win, because it's clear that this is going to take a lot of investment to really pull off. And this just came through at an extremely fortuitous time.
And if the comparison is with MIT and Stanford, does that mean your applicants are going to need to be the creme de la creme, that this is going to be one of those super competitive Ivy League level schools, you know, for the applicants to actually get into, maybe tougher than anything that's in the city right now in terms of acceptance for admission?
So, you know, we do really view this as a school that should attract the best and brightest from around the world. The point being to attract those people to New York and then retain them here in terms of the opportunities for job creation. So, yes, we do see this as a creme de la creme institution, much as we see our Ithaca campus that way.
And Mark in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Brian. Great show. The interdisciplinary nature of this sounds amazing when the dean spoke about sociologists and environmentalists being involved in the process. My concern is that does this become, in a sense, a sluice gate for Reaganomics? Meaning, when Reagan was president, after the Air Flight Controller busted union, he allowed corporate commercial interests to finance research on college campuses, which had been heretofore done, you know, basically altruistically. What prevents this from occurring again? It seems to me as though if you're going to entice commercial interest, doesn't that sort of invite that same sort of trickle-down mentality that the world has really gotten really,
yes,
it's messed up with over the last 40 years.
Mark, thank you. This is kind of the second version of the same question that's come up now. And I imagine that, you know, a number of listeners are thinking, well, yeah, this is great because we need jobs, we need economic development, the tech sector is something that we want to invest in. On the other hand, this is academia. And it shouldn't be all, you know, potentially corrupted by being a sluice, as he put it, for corporate money.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think one of the things that's been happening in the technology sector over the last few decades, which is actually very exciting from an academic perspective, is that many of the deep and fundamental research questions are coming out of new companies. And so there has been, in the technology area at least, a real need for academic institutions to stay closely coupled to what's happening in industry, not just for the job creation side, but also for access to the latest and most interesting problems to be working on. So we really see this as a flow in both directions of questions and problems coming from the companies that we're working closely with that are investigated in the academic context, but then also training the students that are so with the skills that are so desperately needed on the industry side.
We're just about out of time, but for those like Robin in Washington Heights who either want to know where to apply, if you know you're taking a small graduate class next September, or maybe even where to apply to be a faculty member or any other kind of employment that you'll be ramping up right away, should they get in touch with you or should they just hold their horses for a while?
So I would say watch the Cornell website. There will be more information very soon.
David Huttenlocher, Cornell's Dean of the Faculty of Computing and Information Science, on the day after Cornell was awarded the contract to develop the new Applied Sciences campus on Roosevelt Island here in New York City. Congratulations. It's very exciting.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Coming up next, we'll finish up today with just hours left in the shopping season before Hanukkah with your political gifts. What are you giving? Or what have you ever given that was a really cool or interesting political gift? And you can come from any political point of view on this. I'll read you the email that I got from the RNC with their favorite last-minute shopping items. And then you can call with yours any political gift that you are giving this year or have ever given in the past. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it to our website or tweet it or put it on our Facebook page. We want to know your political gifts. Stay with us.